Welcome to the Performance Health Podcast. My name is Tim Karen. Today, I got Zach Zellner from University of Texas talking about him building his online business while being in the team sector. If you're a coach working in the team sector, this could be a monster episode for you. If you're not familiar with my background, I was a head strength conditioning coach at Army West Point from the years 2014, 15, 16. I quit, I bet on myself, I opened up Allegiant in 2017 with two business partners. I wish I knew what I know now, and I might have approached it differently. I'm not having any regret of me leaving the team sector, but definitely wish I had the options, or at least the potential for options that Coach Zellner laid out here, from just building out a business to giving yourself a little bit more income, getting your name out there, your brand out there, as well as helping with recruiting at University of Texas. This was a great episode, and Coach Zellner was just amazing with all of his insights. If you like what you're hearing, please like, subscribe, and share. There's a lot of strength coaches out there that would benefit from hearing this message. I'm sure that you can relate, that you feel like you're alone, you're isolated. And I'm not trying to sit there and saying that we're victims. What I am saying is that the more we can communicate, collaborate, and connect, the better off we're going to be. So like, subscribe, and share with every strength coach, especially just getting the word out about all this entire season, from Coach Incerta episode 1, Coach Zellner episode 2, and then the other 8 coaches I'm going to have on throughout the course of the season. It's going to be a monster season. Hope you guys enjoy. I'll unlock your potential as a strength coach with the Foundations course. Are you ready to take your coaching to the next level? The Foundations course isn't just another checklist or to-do list. It's a transformative journey that focuses on key models and skills that make great strength coaches. It will help you develop into the best version of yourself. In this course, you'll dive deep into essential concepts such as, what do you want? Why do you want that? How are you going to get that? We're going to develop the motivation to develop the skills that are prerequisite to getting what you want. We're going to maintain motivation through practice. We're going to master communication. We're going to work on application through developing a coaching business and a 1 of 5 and a 10-year plan. This course is designed to be specific to your needs. You're learning at your own pace, diving into what matters to you. Each lesson is paired with an interactive workbook and a corresponding module. You'll get a copy of the Foundation workbook and a copy of How to Become a Strength Coach to make a deeper understanding of the lessons we're going through. Why choose the Foundations course? Develop a personalized coaching strategy that's tailored to you, your wants, and your needs. Build the skills and knowledge needed to become the strength coach you know you can be. Map out a clear 1, 5, and 10-year plan to stay on track for long-term success. Receive hands-on resources to help integrate learning into your coaching practice. The best coaches aren't born. They're made through consistent learning and development. This is your opportunity to become the coach you know you always could be. Start your journey today by purchasing the Foundations course.
Hey, we got Coach Zach Zellner on the line today. We're talking about building a business. Zach has just done a ton online and just building a brand. So I want to open with that is, what prompted you to start maybe an online training business on top of your job? And what have you learned through that process?
Yeah, I've always been an entrepreneur. Like in my younger age, like in college, I ran vending machines. I put them in frat houses and gyms and all that kind of stuff. So I've always been looking to, I guess, my creative outlet. And now I sold it once I graduated. In retrospect, I should have just hired somebody to run it for me. But my,
that's right.
Exactly. So I may bring it back. Who knows? But yeah, it came out of necessity of, a lot of these strength coaches can relate, how many people reach out to, do you have a program? Do you have diet advice, whatever? And I was talking to my sister about this, actually. It was when I was starting my social media. It started out that I was complaining to her about strength coach Twitter and how negative and whatnot it was. And she was like, well, you're part of the problem. And I was like, what do you mean? I don't even post or anything. She's like, absolutely, you're part of the problem because you're not doing anything. So if you think your stuff's so great or you could impact the field, like, you should start posting. And if anyone wants me to get me to do anything, they just tell me I can't do it or whatnot. And I was like, all right, I'll start doing this. And soon enough, there was some traction with it. And my mentor, Andrea Hootie, reached out to me with this opportunity with Train Heroic to come out with a basketball program. And I was like, okay, this will be sweet. We'll work on this together. We'll put something out there. And this is something that I tell everybody. So we made a post like, hey, launch date next week, basketball program. Everyone's super excited. I got a million DMs, a million comments, a bunch of these shares. And I'm like, Hootie, we're going to freaking kill it. And then sure enough, launch day comes, no program sold.
Oh, no.
So it took a week for us to sell a program. And then from there, it takes off a little bit more. But I think you get discouraged because in the beginning, you're like, who's going to buy this program? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then it comes to fruition that actually nobody did want to buy your program.
Wow.
So well, you put yourself out there. But then I read more marketing books. I did half my MBA at Kansas. I probably need to finish the other half. But I remember I loved the marketing classes. And one of the things that really hit home to me was consumers need to see something like 6 to 10 times before they purchase it. So for me, having this false confidence that like one Instagram post I was going to sell a million programs was ridiculous. So I read up on marketing and what different things we could do differently, and then turned this into a nice little side hustle for myself.
So that's a great segue, because you have a good platform where you're in like the 20, 30,000 follower range. Obviously, Coach Hootie just got the pedigree, and you have a brand that you're associated with. We don't need to mention it by name. I think it's understood, but the excitement you have, you got their interest, you created a product, but then you get to the actual landing of the plane and closing the deal. What were some of the lessons you learned once you got past that initial person that bought it? And what were some steps that you did following that in terms of closing some of these people that got excited about your program?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing was to keep pushing it through social. That's the best free marketing you can do, and you have complete control over that. I also use it as an intro period for when coaches email you. I get so many emails from high school coaches of, can you send me your fall program or your summer program? And my kind of vetting process was, yeah, coach, I got one. Here's the link to my program. And this program's $35 a month. And so my whole thing was, my hourly, what I would charge someone for a consult for an hour is triple that. Mm-hmm. And if this coach isn't even willing to invest $35, then I'm probably not going to invest that much of my time answering questions. And on the flip side, if they did buy the program, like I will answer every email, every call, every text you want to do. And so this is a vetting process for people that you want to help. Obviously, I want to help everybody, but there's so much bandwidth I have throughout the day. So this is a nice little vetting process.
Did you go into creating that program, hey, I'm going to target this specific avatar, like high school basketball athlete? And has that evolved now into basketball coaches trying to get a program for their athletes and more of a, hey, here's how the best in the world are organizing their training? But where does it land now with majority of your customer base with that online program?
Yeah, this is a big surprise to me, because I thought, you think your collegiate strength coach is going to be all these high schoolers buying your program, but it's actually a bunch of adults, like between 25 to 40, who still want to train like an athlete. And then the overseas market is crazy, like the amount of these overseas basketball players. And the coolest thing I see is these either high school coaches or professional coaches that are buying your program to implement with their athletes. So you get it's a two-part thing. You obviously get unbelievable training, but it's a little education piece as well of, let's see how Zach programs, how it works together, if it works or not, or if they're just like cool videos on Instagram.
Has that shaped your social media posting about it in terms of, hey, get the program for your team that's going to help you win state or win your league? Have you changed the way you're addressing the copy or just the presentation of it all?
Yeah, it's tricky just being in the collegiate setting where I can like film and stuff. If I'm filming at work, there's not going to be any call to actions or anything. It's just going to be more of like showing people educationally, this is my training style, this is what I believe throughout the week, this is how I think basketball players should train. And I'll just let people connect the dots from there. Obviously, if I'm in an offsite location, I can do call to actions, but it's a part of me that I think it's the coach kind of we talked about earlier of, you never want to come off as salesy. And that was one of my hardest things when I'm like at a different gym. I'm like, hey, if you want my program, comment basketball. And I just hated coming off with that stereotype of being salesy for whatever reason.
Yeah. Now, so I think it will help a lot for coach out there who's maybe thinking about developing an online program. Explain to us what a call to action is.
So it's basically, I put out a, let's say I do a post that says strength training for basketball. I could put, you know, on the line, hey, strength training for basketball is important. If you'd like to learn more, jump on my program, comment basketball, and I'll send you the program. So it's basically calling the person to purchase your product for their problem.
And with that being said, do you have automation sequence after that call to action, or is it manual on your end?
So in the beginning, it was all manual on my end. And then I have a couple of friends who are in the space where their full-time job is online training. And so I got coffee with a couple of those guys, and they're telling me, you should look into hiring someone that handles all your marketing, all your automations, all that kind of thing. And so it was a jump for me. Once I hit a certain number of programs, I was like, I'm going to put, you know, money back into the business. I'm going to invest in this person. And she basically helped me with my marketing strategy, automations, web page layouts, all that kind of thing. So at first, I was just trying to figure everything out myself. And it turned into, I always tell people, like, hire the expert. And so I'm like, I might want to walk it like I talk it. And this woman knows a whole lot more about marketing and internet strategy than I do. So we had a call and she set up everything. And that's what's really taken it off. And once you get over the initial ouch of paying somebody money of something you probably could figure out, but just it's going to take you a lot more time. I just looked at the opportunity cost of, let's try this out for 3 months and see what happens. And yeah, it's been a great experience.
That's a pretty nerve-wracking process, if anyone's ever gone through it. And there's always a buyer's remorse phase of that, especially as the strength coaching, that you're like, I can just will through this anything. Like, I can endure pretty much whatever is going to come across in front of me. But as you start to vet some of these folks, and you're much like now your clients looking to buy your program, they're putting a lot of trust and faith in you and having that buyer's remorse of, I committed to buying Coach Zillner's program, and maybe I don't get an immediate email, or I don't have an immediate access to the program, and they're like, shoot, I want my money back. Walk me through that process when you're having these conversations. Did you have an idea of what your pain points were that you wanted? And then did you have any really concept of what your limitations were in regards to your business structure when meeting with this person who's going to run your marketing and your business aspect?
Yeah, I think the first part is, okay, I've sold this many programs just doing the old school. I'm going to post on Instagram and people are going to find me. And a part of me was like, I could just keep doing that. Like, why do I need a marketing person to do that? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, that's a lot of money, but I'm going to reinvest back in the business. And when I met, her name's Shannon. When I met with Shannon, she gives me her whole spiel and everything. And in my head, I'm like, I could figure this out. I could do this. Not a big deal. And you have to sign like a 3-month thing, just like any good training program. Like, a coach needs you for at least 3 months for you to get results. It's not going to happen in 1 week, 2 weeks. So I find myself with the same buyer's remorse of 2 weeks into it. I was like, I've had two more people buy the program. That's a net loss of a couple grand. Like, great work, Zach. And then she's like, stay patient. This is how this stuff works. And sure enough, like, after 3 months, it almost doubled. And so I was slowly understanding all my pitfalls of not understanding the whole market the way it was.
Yeah. Now, would you look back and say, were there any big, huge mistakes that you wish you could go back and do differently?
Yeah, I think I would have offered two products alongside. I feel like a lot of people, they either really love subscriptions or they hate them just because they're inundated with another subscription. I feel like now if you watch any football game on nowadays, two or three of the commercials are of these companies that cancel subscriptions for you that you forget about. And I think there's this negative stigma with subscriptions. What I did last year was I basically launched two standalone programs, and that could give the person an option of, hey, in the beginning, let me buy the standalone thing, see if I even like it. And then if I like that, chances are the cheaper option is to hop on the monthly thing, and I'm going to do that as well. So I've had, it blows my mind that people will buy like both, and it just shows, okay, we're doing something if they're using it not only for their own training, but for educational purposes as well. Because I think at the end of the day, like, people want to see what your programming is like. Like, I love, especially you, like, you'll put out your Allegiant lift just one of the days, and I'm like, dude, this is cool. I get to be in Tim's mind of what he's thinking, what he's doing, give myself some good ideas. So I look at it as like an education platform and also obviously a training platform.
Unlock your coaching potential with a coaching membership. Are you ready to take your coaching game to the next level? With coaching membership, you'll get exclusive access to web shows, a deep dive into strength conditioning topics from me and top level strength conditioning professionals, program reviews, myself and other strength coaches breaking down programs for you to practically apply high-level programming. You'll get lectures from me from various conferences I've done over the course of my career,
that you'll have always available to you. And then you'll have access to a private forum where you can ask questions and dive deeper into topics that you know you want to talk about. Whether you're a seasoned vet or just starting, the coaching membership has everything you need to succeed in strength conditioning. Why join the coaching membership? You get access to a full library of information from myself and other high-level strength coaches. There is over 40 hours plus of videos that you're going to get access to from those web shows, program reviews, lectures. You get access to the highest level information in strength conditioning in a community of coaches that are second to none. If you sign up today, you get access to the most advanced strength conditioning content on the internet.
Now, with the, well, appreciate you saying that, because it gets into this like thing of the freemium versus the, what is going to be the actual value once they actually purchase it.
Now, yeah. And
for the record, strength coach out there listening to it, you take for granted the job that you're doing and how much value that could bring to someone outside of your direct sphere of influence. And just because it's normal everyday activities for you of coaching, programming, interacting, making good decisions over time, that's completely novel and honestly revolutionary for a lot of folks out there. They just need to see it either in a platform that kind of puts it all out there for you to do, or like you said, of here's a timeline sensitive offer. You're just going to get this for 3 months. Buy the package, and it's going to walk you through step one. But at the end of 3 months, up to you what you want to do with it, getting some sort of like vector control on that. But I want to get into the management of this and going through, obviously you got seasonality with the sport that you're working with that pretty much from October to hopefully end of April, you're going to be rolling. And now with that being said, as you have a business that's like always operating, how do you manage that like business on top of your day job?
I think the biggest thing for me was scheduling. Like I used to wing everything of like, okay, I'll film something sometime today and then I'll make a post sometime this week. But for me, I literally go through Google calendars now and I'm like 6 to 7 a.m., film your workout. 5 to 6, check emails, respond back to everything. And then I'll have usually like on an off day, that's when I'll do all my programming or brainstorming for like the next phase. But for me, I like had to have it in my calendar to know that this is the day I'm going to shoot my mobility series or my strength series or whatever. And then this is the day. I work best in the mornings, luckily. So I get up crazy early and then I get there and that's when I do my best like programming or ideas or anything like that. My co-host of the podcast, Tim, always jokes, always when I go for walks or bike rides, that's when I always get my ideas. So I'll usually go on a walk or a bike ride and then I have my little notes thing in my phone of different ideas of what I want to add in the program, how I want to change the marketing, different content ideas, all that kind of stuff. So find basically what works best for you and then get in some sort of rhythm.
Luca actually talked really a high level on that on the Coach Him Up podcast
about
walking and ideating and just like you're doing it anyway. So just put some structure around it.
Exactly.
And monetize it in a lot of ways. Okay. So going into that, because I think it's an interesting component, I always talk about with strength coaches, you're going to do a couple things no matter what. You're going to lift and you're probably going to do some con ed. And what they always talk about in the building an online presence is document. And these things are a part of your everyday life. Was there like a threshold where you're like, my life is pretty much like I'm the Truman Show. I'm basically putting myself out there. And do you feel any bit of, do I have to put some constraint on what I'm showing to the world? Or is it just everything's part of the package and they're buying you and this vertical of building you?
So that's my biggest thing. I was looking at people that I follow that I don't know. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, why do I follow this guy or this girl? And it was like, you're buying the person. I'm like, there's got to be people out there that love lifting weights, riding their bike, drinking coffee, collecting sneakers and cooking. There's got to be somebody out there that resonates with those kind of things. And the difference, like if buying your program versus buying mine or somebody else's, is they're buying that person. So if I feel like, okay, I really vibe with what Tim's doing, he seems like a cool guy that I want to train with, like I'm going to look at his stuff, or vice versa. You see someone that totally clashes with what you are about and they might have the greatest program in the world, but you're not going to buy it because you can't really relate to that person. So I think I always joke with my friends about this. My training stuff obviously does well, but anytime I cook or do my pictures of my shoes or whatever, that gets way more feedback than any sort of novel type training thing. And I think you got to find your style. Like Corey Schlesinger and I talk about that a lot when we were working together. Like He's more of the education, the voiceover methodology. And I'm more of see what I'm doing, replicate it like super easy. And I was talking with him about it. I'm like, should I start doing more stuff like you where it's education? He's, if you don't like that, like your style is this, like it works, keep doing that. You can play around with another style that you want to do. But at the end of the day, I know for me, making a thing where I'm like, okay, here's what I'm going to talk about. Here's the bullet points I want to do and get across. To me, that causes more stress. Maybe later down the line, I'm really going to fall in love with that kind of research oriented product. But for now, like, I like showing how I train, and then I do a little quippy joke in there somehow. And that's my style.
It's amazing. One thing that you'll get in at least the health and fitness space is this idea. People buy destination, not the journey.
So true.
And as a strength coach, your default is like the process is everything. It's the act of doing something. And I think a lot about just going to an exos type of building individual brands within the brand. So you look through the long, profound history they've had of like Luke Richardson, Nick Winkelman, like Brett Bartholomew, now like even Nicole Rodriguez. And you look at all of those avatars, like Nick Winkelman can talk at a high level, his ideas describing and presenting. And then you got Nicole Rodriguez, who might be the best demo person on the planet.
Absolutely.
You're like, you're buying that, right? Wow, that she is a savant when it comes down to demonstrating something. She's an amazing speaker, but it's overshadowed by her ability to demonstrate, which looking at you between Corey, who's just got a profound online presence and built it out of like nothing. It wasn't like he called a marketing guru, was like, hey, build me into the next big thing. People just bought like his insight and his knowledge. And now they're buying you. And I know what it feels like training with Coach and going through his process because he wears it. Have you like, when you, do you look at your social media and your engagement, like you talked about shoe post or cooking post, like doing really well, how much does that influence? I just did a great movement prep or an in-season like sample workout. And what it should look like from a demonstration, or at least a, this is what I expect people to look like when they're doing it. Have you had a weekly or monthly or an annual, like these are the posts to do well, I'm going to lean in hard on that? Or is it, do I diversify and try to accentuate certain areas that I know I'm not necessarily conscious of?
So I was playing around with this idea actually, because you'll have a post, I always joke, like a post, I'm like, shoot, I just got to throw something up there and that performs really well. And then one, I'm like a week in the making of putting out the perfect post and it doesn't perform well. So what I actually did recently was look back a year ago at my couple of my posts that did like a million views. I'm like, here's my experiment. I'm going to repost it today. And it should theoretically, since I have way more followers than I did a year ago, and it's probably new content for people, it's probably going to perform really well. So I just mixed up the video, but it was the same video and it underperformed. And I was like, this is interesting, because I was really caught up before with likes, views, comments, all that kind of stuff. And now I look at it as like, you need to put something out there, and whether the algorithm is thrown at your way or not, like that still shouldn't stop you from putting your content out there. I think that was the big aha moment for me of just because you get 1,000 views on one and 50,000 on another, that doesn't necessarily mean it's a horrible post. Yeah. Now, if it's something way outside of what you usually post and it bombs, I would maybe try it one more time. And then if it still doesn't work, then it's like, all right, maybe I'll go back to what I really enjoy doing.
There's a really good book called The Alchemist, and it's all about marketing, how you're basically just making something, like you're turning stuff into gold. And the opening line is like the most profound lesson he learned, Sutherland, when he was doing marketing for a lot of companies. They did a campaign looking at a electric company that was trying to get people to pay their bills. So one was, if you paid your bill on time next month, you get free electricity for a year. The other one was, if you pay your bill on time, we're going to send you a pink penguin, literally a pink penguin, like a figurine. And they're like, we're going to be paying out everyone for the rest of the year. Everyone wanted the pink penguin, like a 30
That's
cent.
That's hilarious.
Penguin. It was. And he's, the moral of the story is people are weird. They react differently. It's interesting. It's engaging. Like, I'd rather get the pink penguin as opposed to saving hundreds of dollars on paying my electric bill. That just process. And when you're thinking about posting, don't overthink it. Just throw it out there, test analytics, and maybe you got some gas and you should pour it back on the fire. Or maybe it's just like, all right, maybe it just was the wrong time it was released. I just got to re-release it. And if it doesn't hit, move on.
And I think you got to know like your audience. Tim Riley always jokes around with me, like the most basic posts usually perform the best. And anything that's complicated or really researchy or whatever appeals to a really small demo, they're really going to love that. And like the people who are super into training and the minutia of everything are really going to love that. But like the majority of your audience is people that just want the basics and something that they can apply. Your 30-year-old just trying to get jacked probably doesn't care about in-season undulating periodization during competition season. But that small sector that does is really going to like it. So I usually try not to get caught too much in views or anything like that.
Yeah, there's always I need to do enough to build my credibility, but I also need enough to get people interested and engaged with what I'm doing. And they feel like they have to put on their lab coat and write out a full on like notepad worth of notes from every one of your posts. You're probably going to lose some folks. Now, shifting gears just a little bit.
Yeah.
Talking about your business as it is, so you have X number of customers, don't worry about divulging that. This idea of that core group, with them, are you looking at them from, I want to grow exponentially with those folks and just keep bringing them value, try to upsell them? Or is it, I'm trying to get that group to grow or expand by throwing out referrals or, hey, bring a friend and you'll get a free month. What's your thought process of growing your business with the group that you currently have?
Yeah, I want to add like a nutrition piece because I feel like we talked about earlier, like that's the real building block of success right there. We had Ryan Fisher on the podcast. I'm glad I had all these people on. I can reference them. But he was talking about his big breakthrough moment was nutrition. Like training aside, like nutrition is the biggest needle mover for everything. And if you have someone that's really dialed in on their training and nutrition, especially here in Austin or in the summer, like you got your shirt off, you're at the pool. Like that person is, I always joke with my clients that are on the app, like you guys are my walking billboards. And so the amount of referrals I get from my friends who people come up to and be like, hey, you obviously look like you train. Like, what do you do? And that's how I'll get a lot of messages of, hey, I met your buddy Mike at the pool and he said you had this training app, where I met Isabel at the boat party and she said you have this women's training app. And I'm like, yeah, sign up. Here we go. And so I have a really good client retention. And I think it's the community we build within the app. That's my favorite thing of the day is once the training day is over, everybody comments something about the workout, either what they liked, hated, you know, some funny comment about what happened to them during the lift or anything like that. I think it makes this like tiny little community within the workout app, which to me, that's been more fun than even hearing some of the obviously success from consistently training for a year.
Yeah. So last question, and this one hopefully will resonate with a lot of folks out there. Since you've started your business and you've grown it out and you have your day job, do you feel like there's been a positive impact on having a business with doing your day job?
Yeah, I think it's forced me to learn more. And I think when you get into like double digit years of being a strength coach, I don't want to say autopilot, but like you have your way of doing stuff, your systems, your checks, your balances. And you might read a training article here or there, but like you've put in the work, you've seen, worked with great coaches, worked with great athletes, had success. And this has afforded me the opportunity to explore business practices and selfishly to try to grow my business. But these same women and men who are running these Fortune 500 companies, it's the same qualities in athletics. And I think they almost have a better system of validating what works. Cause at the end of the day, like if they don't make money, they are out of business. It's not okay. You work for a good coach. The AD is going to keep them around cause they're graduating kids or whatever. It's, are you making money? Are you losing money? And I think these same leadership skills, and I think they're just further ahead of that kind of foresight than where we are in strength condition. I think we're so used to routine, tradition, and all this kind of stuff instead of really branching out and seeing what else is out there.
Yeah, this is awesome. One last note I think would be interesting to hear about. Do you feel like with your athletes, they demonstrate a little bit more pride based off of your now increased notoriety?
Yeah, so this has been a funny thing. So we had a big time recruit come on campus and usually it's they come in the weight room, they meet you or whatever. And she walked in the door and she's like, Dad, this is the guy I wanted to meet. I do all his ankle stuff at home. And our coaches were just like, what are you talking about? And they're like, yeah, no, this is the stuff he's doing. And I feel like with athletes now, I wouldn't say social currency, but it's, are you good at what you do? Like, they want to work with the best. And we have our athletes all the time that'll joke that their friends from other schools are DMing them saying they're stealing the stuff we're doing. Mm-hmm. And our athletes love it too. Like, the amount of times that they're like, come in for an individual session, they're like, hey, can we film this? Like, I want to show people what I'm doing for my ankles or for my strength or whatever. And 10 years ago, you didn't have that at all. And the other day we had a game and our team we were playing against, one of their athletes came over and she was like, can I get a picture with you? And I was like, what's going on? This is crazy. But the fact that you are able to make a bigger impact, every coach talks about, I want to make the biggest impact I can. It's, if you have 15 athletes, you're limited right there. But this is a way where you can share everything. I just want people to have a better training experience than what we did back in the day. And I think what better way than to get to these kids where they have everything all the time on their phone with some good sound training advice.
The tide's turning. I've had really good close friends in the past 2 to 3 years not move up or actually not be retained because of their lack of social presence and the impact it might have on a potential recruit. Like that, hey, can I get a picture with Zach? Man, that has a lot of weight with end of year. He's an asset in terms of recruiting. And let's say that even in your team, let's say that your whole ambition to drive up your brand to help the sport or the team that you're working with, your institution, to get better recruits and get better just opportunity to win at a high level. And that coach goes to administrator, like, he's now a full-time coach from a recruiting perspective because he's an asset and he helps our brand just 10x more because of that. And that's honestly—
It's crazy because you never think of it like that. It was like being an asset for recruiting. Like, we know we are, but no kid's picking a school because of the strength coach usually, but it can be a big needle mover. And I saw when Corey was here, like, we'd have those big time men's recruits come in and they couldn't wait to meet Corey. Mm-hmm. And then they look over and they see the other bald guy too. Oh my God, he's here too.
Yeah.
And so it was just cool to see, hey, we can make an impact on getting better quality kids who want to be here. And then you have that buy-in already. Like, the athlete hasn't even stepped on campus yet and they want to work with you instead of convincing them through June, July, and August that you know what the heck you're talking about. So it's a valuable tool, and I'd challenge more strength coaches to put their stuff out there. Like, you're at these schools for a reason, some level of knowledge to have a full-time job and share it. Like, it should be your duty to help as many people as possible.
Hey man, I recall back when I worked football for so long and I never had to worry about doing anything remote ever. It was like, hey, this kid's going to go do an internship somewhere in the semester. See you in the fall. Like, yeah. Thing. And then when you start to have to build an online presence and do remote based program, like, you just atrophied in that quality. But you look at it now, the way basketball works or most sports in general, like, these kids aren't staying at the school year round. Like, they're going off and you can still provide a service to them because you have the infrastructure and the systems in play to do that.
Correct.
Great. This is awesome. Thank you so much. This is fired up on how this is all going to play out. And if you're listening to this, I genuinely hope that you're invigorated and excited because you can still maintain your authenticity, your integrity, et cetera. All these really big things that we are value and pride ourselves on, but there's a lot of gold out there. You just got to keep digging.
Absolutely.
Awesome. Thank you, Zach.
Thanks for having me, Tim.